Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, as an emergency measure, at 2 o'clock this morning, the state of California went on daylight savings time, which means that in California, we started the day an hour earlier. This sudden change has even upset the barnyard animals. Well, this morning, when I opened my bedroom window at 5 o'clock, which was really 4 o'clock, I heard...
What a shame. It's their first argument since they appeared on Bride and Groom. Continue, Don.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the change of time has certainly been confusing. So now we bring you a man who gets 5 o'clock shadow with his 4 o'clock tea, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, what is the reason for this sudden change of time here in California?
Well, Jack, because of the drought, there's been a power shortage, and the extra hour of daylight saves millions of kilowatt hours of electricity.
Kilowatt?
Yes. Yes, you see, we've had practically no rain, and it takes millions of tons of water rushing through the penstock to turn the turbines which generate electricity. It is then run through the giant transformers in which it is converted into alternating current. And this current is sent throughout the state on a complicated network of cables.
Well. Imagine them going through all that trouble just so Rochester can burn my toast in the morning. But, Don, this drought has really been something. I don't ever remember it being so dry out. Well, listen, this you'll never believe. I mean, this sounds incredible. But it's been so dry, last week I passed a citrus grove and I saw an orange sucking a lemon. You know, the rain today nearly spoiled that joke. We nearly took it out. But anyway, Don, I like the idea of broadcasting at 5 o'clock instead of 4 because it gives us more time.
Well, say, Mr. Benny, I heard you and Don talking
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello. Say, Mr. Benny, I heard you and Don talking about...
Oh, did you just get here, kid?
Yeah. I heard you and Don talking about daylight savings time, and I'm in favor of it.
Well, I'm glad you are, Dennis. You see, it gives us an extra hour of daylight every day.
Yeah. I got up at 2 o'clock this morning. I turned my watch ahead 365 hours.
What?
I'm set for the whole year.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you made me repeat that, huh?
But Dennis, look at me. I want to ask you one thing. Why do you have to be so silly? I mean, you're not a kid anymore. Look, you're approaching manhood.
I am?
And you have responsibilities. Look, Dennis, I really wanted to talk to you. Like, when I was your age, I was serious-minded, settled. I was supporting my family. I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning on a cold, wintry day, pack my own lunch, and trudge 12 miles through the snow looking for work. Any kind of work. Selling paper, shoveling coal, digging ditches, anything. And at night, with the pennies I had earned clenched in my little fist... in my little face. I would drag my weary body home. And it was because of my efforts that my loved ones, my family, were able to keep body and soul together through that dreadful winter. What do you think of that?
That was pretty good, but I still think they'll give it to Ronald Coleman.
Dennis, I was just telling you the story of my life. I wasn't trying to get an Academy Award. I didn't even make a picture, so I'm not eligible to win it.
Oh, you're just being modest.
I'm not being modest. I didn't make a picture last year. If I had made one, then I would be eligible to win the award.
What a ham.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I don't know why I get into these things.
Well, speaking of pictures, Jack, I saw a great one last night.
Really, Dan? What'd you see?
The Naked City.
Ooh, what he said.
Well, that does it. Mary, have you ever heard anyone so ridiculous? Mary, I'm talking to you.
Jack, I don't come in till the next page.
Well, come in now. I can't stand any more of this.
Okay. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Mary.
Hey, fellas, look who's here. Mary.
Say, Jack.
What?
I'm all mixed up now. How come we're broadcasting at 3 o'clock instead of 4?
We're not broadcasting at 3 o'clock. Look, it's 5 o'clock. You see, you're supposed to set your watch ahead.
Ahead?
Certainly. See, the idea is to get an extra hour of daylight, and the purpose of that is to conserve electricity. You see, there's been a drought, and it takes millions of tons of water rushing through the penstock to turn the turbines which generate electricity. It is then run through a giant...
Shut up!
Miss Stewart, you were employed on this program to read one line at the opening of the show, and that's all. I could have got a real chicken, but they wanted 90 cents a pound. Now, please don't interrupt again.
$643.70.
Dennis, what are you figuring?
Don Wilson at 90 cents a pound.
John, go sit on Dennis for a while so we can get on with the show, will you?
Say, Jack, are you having the winner of the Walking Man contest in the program today?
Yes, Mary. Ralph Edwards is going to bring her over later.
Well, good, because I got a letter from Mom, and she says she's going to listen.
Oh, a letter from your mother?
Yeah. Here it is, right here.
Well, what does the fearless Fosdick of Plainfield have to say?
I'll read it to you. My darling daughter, Mary... Just a short note to tell you how thrilled we all were to find that Jack was the walking man when I heard the news. I got so excited that the cow is now wearing 4 Band-Aids.
Oh, poor thing.
I should have realized Jack was the walking man as soon as I heard that clue where he played the violin. It sounded like a cat who already lost 8 lives and didn't have a nickel to call Northside 777.
Mary, your mother can put a Band-Aid on that gag, too.
So much for Jack.
This show was written in doo-wah-diddy, I think.
So much for Jack. Now, here's the latest family news. Your sister, Babe, has been studying dramatics, and this Wednesday, she will have an important part in the annual St. Patrick's Day play.
Oh, Babe.
The play will open... with St. Patrick chasing Babe out of Ireland.
Say, Babe should be good in that part. She never did have hits, you know.
This part doesn't give Babe any lines to read, but she'll have a chance to hiss back at the audience.
Good, good.
No other news except we had to take your Uncle Harry to a psychiatrist, as he thinks he's an avocado. Every time I make a salad, he jumps in the bowl.
What?
Once he did it without dressing.
Mary.
Salad dressing, that is.
Your Uncle Harry is really a character. I remember last year he thought he was a tube of shaving cream. Every time he left the house, he wanted you to screw his cap on. What a guy.
So we'll close now with all my love to you, your mother, Mama.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now, come on, Dennis. It's time for your song. What are you going to sing?
Well, since Wednesday is St. Patrick's Day, I'm going to sing McNamara's Band.
Good, good. Go ahead.
My name is McNamara, I'm the leader of the band. Although a few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play to funerals, we play the march from Saul. Oh, the drums go banging, the cymbals clang, and the horns, they blaze away. The carty puts the orbitoon, while I the pipe do play. Oh, Hennessy, Tennessee, toodles the flute and the music something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band. Right now we are rehearsing for a very swell affair. The annual celebration, all the gentry will be there. When the walking man to Ireland came, he took me by the hand. Says he, I never saw the likes of McNamara's band. Oh, the drums go banging, the cymbals clang, and the horns they blaze away. McCarty pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. Oh, Hennessy, Tennessee, toodles the flute, and the music something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band. Uncle Julius and from Sweden they have come to play with McNamara's band and beat the big bass drum. And when they march along the street, the ladies sing come grand. They shout, there's Uncle Julius playing with an Irish band. Oh, the drums are banging, the cymbals clang, and the horns are blowing away. McCarty pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. Oh, Hennessy, Tennessee, good as the flute, and the music something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band. Sure, it's the grandest band in the world, and if anybody doesn't agree with me, just to be sociable, I'll fight the best man in the house.
And I'm not long for this world.
A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
That was McNamara's band sung by that wee broth of a lad, Dennis Day. And Dennis, me by, sure and begot, I'm proud of you, lad, as I am of me father, Shillelagh. But Dennis, seriously, I want to congratulate you and all the Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, and a good yontif to you, too. So sein mit Glück, and ich will sehen später der Garten der.
Thank you, Dennis. And now, oh, hold it, kid. Come in.
Hey, Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I'm here to inform you that the results of Radio Mirror Magazine's nationwide poll have been tabulated, and you've won the title of America's favorite comedian.
Well, thank you.
Don't thank me. I voted for Mary's mother.
What?
You're about as funny as an eviction notice.
Look, all right, you came here, you told me I won the award, now you can go.
Yeah, just a minute. Is Don Wilson around?
Why, yes. Hey, wait a minute. Ask me that again, will you?
I said, is Don Wilson around?
He's not only around, but he's a firm and a fully packed. Oh, brother, you may not be the walking man, but you step right into that one. Yes, sir. Hey, mister, what are you doing?
I'm setting my watch back an hour. I was happier then. Now may I see Mr. Wilson?
Oh, Don, come here a minute.
Oh, yes, what is it, Jack?
Hey, Mr. Wilson, on behalf of Radio Mirror Magazine, I want to congratulate you on being voted America's favorite radio announcer. Little old me? Yes, little fat old you. In the plaque we're presenting to you reads, first prize awarded to Don Wilson because of perfect diction and flawless enunciation. Well, gosh, who won second prize? Speedy Rig.
Effie Boone will be heartbroken.
Now, Mr. Benny, while I'm here, I'd like to take some pictures of the lady who won the walking man contest.
Well, Ralph Edwards was supposed to bring her over, and they're not here yet. I can't understand what's keeping them. I better call up and see.
Say, Maple, what is it, Geister? Mr. Benny's line is flashing.
I wonder what high button shoes want now.
Well, answer it and find out.
I'm loosening my girdle. You answer it.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, Mabel.
Now, this is Gertrude. Right now, Mabel is loosening her... Gertrude!
Girdle, will you try to get me Ralph Edwards, please?
Just a moment. He wants I should get him Ralph Edwards.
It's a good thing he talked to you. I'd have hung up on him.
Why?
Jack took me out once, and when we got home, he didn't even kiss me goodnight. I can't understand it. I even brought my lips up close to him like this.
Well, no wonder he didn't kiss you.
What?
I've seen a better pucker on a closed laundry bag.
Maybe it's because I don't paint my lips up so good. You know, it's hard with a thin brush. I think I'll start using a rubber stamp like you do.
Yeah, but you gotta be careful. Once at the office, I was in a hurry to make up. I grabbed the wrong stamp and my lips said, fragile this end up. You say, Mabel, to me, Mr. Benny has a very sweet personality.
Well, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. That's why you find so many things in fruitcake.
Oh, that's a fine way to talk about Mr. Benny, especially now that he's famous as a walking man.
What's so wonderful about that? He was walking when Paul Revere was riding.
Operator.
I'm sorry, Mr. Benny, but Ralph Edwards doesn't answer.
All right, thanks.
Jack, wasn't Ralph Edwards home?
No, but we finally got to use that telephone routine we've been saving since Thanksgiving. Four times we rehearsed it and had to take it out. Anyway, Ralph will be down here, and Don, until he gets here, he might as well... Oh, hello, Phil.
Hello, Jackson.
Hiya, Liv.
I'm sorry I'm late, Jackson, but this change of time got me all mixed up.
Well, Phil, that's ridiculous. All you had to do was set your watch ahead an hour.
Well, that ain't easy for me. You see, my watch has got four hands.
Four hands?
Sure. Here, I'll show it to you. Take a look at... How do you like that? I saw four hands last night.
That I can understand. Phil, are those your eyes, or are you trying to flag down a freight train? Anyway, the change of time is no excuse. You've been with me for 12 years, and not once have you been on time for rehearsal.
Jackson, if you had a band as lousy as mine, you wouldn't even get here for the show.
Well, Phil, now that you really admit that what your band sounds like, why don't you let them go?
I can't, Jackson. Can't do it. I got to deal with Petrillo, where I have to take all the in-between musicians.
In-between musicians?
Yeah, when they're through with Guy Lombardo and not quite ready for Forest Lawn, I get them.
What a combination, Guy Lombardo and Forest Lawn. Well, who makes their arrangements?
Digger Odell.
Oh, stop with those jokes.
What do you mean, jokes? There. Look what it says on the music.
Where? Well, I'll be darned. May you rest 16 bars in peace. Well, Phil, whether you like your orchestra or not, we have to have a band number, so hit it, will you? Hey, what's that now?
I just did that to wake up the audience.
Well, Mr. Blank, you don't have to wake up the audience. You were hired just to do one crow at the opening of the program. You can go home now.
But I'm talented. I can do a lot of things.
Look, will
a
you
dog, a horse, a pig.
Look, mister. Look, I don't want all of
them. I ought to imitate an electric organ.
What?
That was a short version. Why don't you let me know? I wish somebody let me know these things.
Well, unclench your fist. That was I'm Looking Over a Four-Leaf Clover, played by Phil Harris, and as Ireland Must Be Heaven, because you can't hear his music there, orchestra. And now, folks...
Well, say, Jack, I'm a little worried. Ralph Edwards hasn't shown up yet.
Well, he ought to be here any minute. Meanwhile, Don, let's have a commercial.
Oh, I can't do a commercial because the quartet isn't here.
The quartet isn't here? Why not?
Well, you see...
What are you laughing at, Mary?
The quartet couldn't be here because the baritone got married.
What about the other three guys?
They tied their shoes to the back of his car and forgot to get out of them.
You should have tied that joke to the back of Fred Allen. Well, Don, even though the quartet isn't here, we got to have a commercial, so it's up to you to do it.
Oh, but Jack, how am I going to get laughs reading a straight commercial?
Well...
Listen to this.
Hey, Jack, your guests have arrived.
My guests? Yeah. Oh, good, good. I'll introduce them. Ladies and gentlemen, it isn't often that we have guest stars on this program, and for a very good reason.
They cost money.
Besides that. But tonight it gives me great pleasure to introduce the master of ceremonies of radio's number one quiz show and the originator of the Walking Man contest. Here he is, Ralph Edwards.
Hiya, Truth.
Hello, Consequence.
Well, Alf, I was worried that you wouldn't get here, so I called your house, but nobody answered. I can't understand it.
Oh, but, Jack, there was nobody in my house, so my phone couldn't be answered.
Funny, I thought does everything.
Maybe it was in the washing machine at the time.
Maybe, but I'm sure glad you got here,
Well, Alf. So am I, Jack, because I want to take this opportunity of thanking you again for your splendid cooperation in the Walking Man contest, which raised over $1 million. To be exact, we raised almost... Yes.
Oh, $2 million. Oh, good.
And all this money, Jack, went to the American Heart Association.
Well, that's certainly a worthy cause.
Say, Ralph, do you mind if I ask you a question?
I know, Mary. What is it?
Well, in your four contests, Mr. Hush, Mrs. Hush, Miss Hush, and Walking Mush, Miss Millette,
the Walking Man.
What was the total value of all the prizes given away?
Oh, I'd say around $100,000.
Gee.
And, you know, since I've been running these contests, I've been the happiest guy in the world. I only wish I could give more prizes. Gives me such a wonderful feeling, giving things away.
Well, to each his own. While you're on the subject of money, don't you think I should receive something for my efforts on your program the last 8 weeks?
Well,
Jack, I know it was for charity, Ralph, but for 8 weeks I walked and walked and walked.
Yeah, I know, Jack, and I have here a check for you for $6.30.
$6.30? How'd you arrive at that figure?
15 cents for the first quarter mile and 20 cents a mile thereafter.
Well, that's why you strapped that meter on my back. If I'd have known that, I'd have taken longer steps, you know.
Jack, I don't know.
I should put on that straw hat for that joke, you know.
No, but I can't understand you at all. I always thought it was just a gag, but it seems the only thing you can think of is money.
But what, Ralph? There's nothing wrong with liking money.
Oh, but Jack, think of it this way. Money isn't everything. Supposing you were the only person in the whole world. All the diamonds, all the wealth, all the gold was yours. Wouldn't you be lonely?
Lonely but loaded. I'd be so nice to come home to.
Well, I may as well get to the real reason for my being here today. I brought along as my special guest tonight, Mrs. Florence Hubbard of Chicago. May I introduce her to you and your listeners?
Certainly, Ralph. Go right ahead.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege to present the winner of the Walking Man contest, Mrs. Florence Hubbard of Chicago, Illinois.
Mrs. Hubbard, I want to welcome you to this program.
Thank you, Mr. Benny.
You know, I read in the paper that after you won the Walking Man contest, all your old friends, people you haven't heard from in years, came around to see you.
That's right.
Gee, that must have been thrilling. Who was the very first person to visit you after you won?
the income tax man.
I'll bet after the income tax man got there, Mrs. Hubbard's cupboard was bare.
For that, I left Chicago.
Tell us, Mrs. Hubbard, how did you discover that Jack was the walking man?
It was simple. The footsteps were familiar.
You mean you've heard his footsteps before?
No, but I realized they were made by a person around my own age.
Just a second, Mrs. Hubbard. How old are you?
39.
39? Gee, you look a little older.
I am. But they gave me a new birth certificate as one of the prizes.
Oh, I see. You know, this is really quite a coincidence. I happen to be 39 years old myself.
Really? What contest did you win?
No contest. You see, that's really my age.
But you look much...
Mrs. Hubbard, remember you're a guest here.
Yes. Now, Mrs. Hubbard, tell me, were you born in Chicago?
No. I was born in the South.
Really? Where?
A little place called Doowad City.
Well, Mrs. Hubbard, now that you've had all this good luck, I suppose you'll be thinking of getting married again, huh?
Won't you?
No. Now that I've all these prizes, I feel that I don't need anyone.
But won't you be lonely?
Lonely, but loaded.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Ralph Edwards and Mrs. Hubbard for being with us today. Mrs. Hubbard appeared through the courtesy of Carson Peary and Scott. Also on our program tonight were Mel Blanc, Frank Nelson, B. Bette Derrick, Sarah Berner, Blanche Stewart. I appeared through the courtesy of Penicillin tonight. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.